started when I was watching TV one night and I saw a documentary program about this crazy looking guy who ran a brain lab up in the mountains 40 miles west of Denver. And he presented, he started out by pulling a wet, gloppy brain out of a glass jar and holding it up in front of the camera. And he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, this is the center of the universe." And he pointed to the brain. And so I wrote to him, and I started corresponding, and I eventually went up to the brain lab and started studying with him, and then eventually became his assistant. And I worked with director of the Dormant Brain Research and Development Laboratory, T.D. Lingo, for 11 years. And he died in 1993, and I carried on the work that he began, and that's how I got into this brain stuff.
And what does that mean, the dormant brain research?
This came from the idea, from that folksy saying that you only use 10% of your brain.
Yeah.
And, you know, as I mentioned before, that's a kind of a funny way to look at it because, again, you can't calculate a percentage of infinity. You can look at PET scans, positive emission tomography, and you can look at functional MRIs, and we can see little lights and we can see things going on inside of the brain at a certain level. But it's really impossible to calculate how little or how much of a brain that you do use. But we do know that there doesn't seem, you know, we never get the signal on the inside of our skull that says hard drive full, you know?
Right.
There seems to be no limit as to what the human brain is capable of. And T.D. Lingo recognized that, and so he decided to name his laboratory, half in jest, the Dormant Brain Research and Development Laboratory, because he wanted to find out why the human brain remains so dormant.
Did he ever get the answers before he died?
Well, yes, he did, and it all comes back to this. Well, you have to know another figure in brain science, and this figure, his name is Paul McLean, and he was a brain researcher that became famous in the 60s, and he eventually got his own brain laboratory. And he developed a model of the human brain called the triune model of the brain. And he said, well, the human brain is really three brains in one. That's what triune means. Tri meaning three, une meaning one, three in one. And the human brain is built something like an apple. If you can imagine the seeds of an apple being the most inner part of the brain. The human brain has a deep primitive core, and that's called the reptile brain, and it allows us to function on the same level as reptiles.
And survive during crises and everything else.
Yeah, you know, it computes very, very basic survival. It computes the fight-or-flight response. You know, I swear every time I'm on the show I tell the same joke, but I'll tell it again because it's a good joke. The reptile brain computes the four Fs of human behavior: feeding, fighting, fleeing, and reproduction.
Good man.
So that's your reptile brain, okay?
You save me from hitting the button.
Okay, now, like in an apple, the seeds are surrounded by a core, right? You can imagine the core around the seeds, right? Well, in the human brain, the reptile middle section of the brain is surrounded by the mammal brain. It's like the core around the seeds of the apple. And the mammal brain adds on those mammal-like functions of basic social behaviors and emotions. A reptile lays its eggs and splits. Kids, you're on your own. It really doesn't nurture its young. It doesn't teach its young. Reptile doesn't play. Well, the mammal brain adds on these functions of play. It adds on, the basic emotions. It adds on, you know, very basic kind of social interaction. So that's our mammal brain. Now, human brains and monkeys, let's go one step here. Monkeys add on another layer of brain that McLean called the primate brain. And when we look at Frankenstein's brain in a jar, we see this big wrinkly, you know, convoluted thing. And what we're really looking at mostly there is this extra 1 inch thick layer of white and gray matter that sits above the mammal brain. And it's kind of like the fleshy, tasty, juicy part of an apple, right? And that's the part we like to eat. That's the best part. Well, in a human brain, that's kind of like the functions that are found in this primate brain, that's kind of like the parts that we really enjoy about life is processed in this primate brain. And what the primate brain does is it develops all these basic mammal brain processes and functions to a much higher level. That's kind of it's a much higher order of social interaction. It's a much higher order of manipulation of the environment. It's a much higher function of emotional capabilities. So this is the primate brain. And the very front part of the primate brain is the most advanced part of our brain. And your listeners, if they just grab onto their forehead and spread your fingers out, everything that you're holding onto under your fingers, from your ears forward, the front third of that primate brain is called the frontal lobes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the most advanced part of your brain, and that's where all the goodies are. And the frontal lobes compute CECL, creativity, imagination, cooperation, intuition, and logic. So when we start talking about magical types of things like ESP and precognition and planning and all these things that humans do so much more than other lower types of mammals and lower monkeys and primates, we're really talking about frontal lobes behavior. Now, this was kind of a long answer to that question you asked about 5 or 6 minutes ago. But the question was, what did T.D. Lingo figure out? Well, what he figured out was that the dormant brain of humans remains largely untapped in terms of its potential. We don't think about the future too much. Maybe we think about what we're going to have for lunch, but not a whole lot more than that. Humans tend to wait until things go rotten before they address them. Right? Just read the newspapers. We
generally
wait
generally.
Until it's too late, until something's happened before we do it, right? When you click on your frontal lobes, you can see a problem and you can solve the problem before it happens. It's really time travel.